When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys.
Well, we're doing well, Brad, and we're living the dream, and we're wondering if the Bears are going to ever improve. It is a difficult question to ask because obviously they're down a couple coaches, but they got little choice. There are four games left. They're going to have to win a game here. I don't know that they are going to win a game, but I think we all feel like they should.
Well, the schedule certainly is very challenging.
Someone's clearly tapping Bigsy's phone.
That must be the Minnesota Vikings.
That's got to be. That's got to be K-Fan. That's exactly right.
Man, that's some serious.
We will straighten up. We'll clean up that line, and we'll get Bigsy back because we don't want you to miss any of his important
background.
Morning,
boys. What's going on?
We've got Robot Biggs filling in.
Want to do that.
Brad, are you okay? Is your phone working, buddy? They stopped tapping your line.
Yeah, the point I was making was it's going to be difficult for them to get a win here, guys. They get the surging Minnesota Vikings who've won six games in a row. Seattle's going to come in. They're in first place in the NFC West right now at 8-5. They're in the thick of the playoff race. You got the Lions coming in actually before Seattle. We all know what they're doing. And then closing out the year in Green Bay, maybe the game is meaningless in week 18 of the Packers in terms of playoff seeding and what they want to do. Maybe it's very meaningful for them. They're 9-4 right now. So a really difficult back half of the schedule for the Bears, even if they were playing better right now, even if they hadn't had some of the fourth quarter meltdowns that have plagued them this season, even if they were a little bit healthier than they are right now.
So, Brad, we had a question during the pick six I wanted to get your take on, because as we watched the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, the defense coming after Caleb Williams, Brian Flores calling the signals for the Vikings. Would you consider Brian Flores, given his background with the Dolphins? We understand what Tua said about him being a bad person. We know about the lawsuits against the league. We know all the baggage that would come with that. But do you consider Brian Flores a viable head coaching candidate for the Chicago Bears?
He's someone you got to have a conversation about and consider. Yes, you don't know how the 31 other owners, obviously the Miami Dolphins aren't going to consider Brian Flores, and I don't know that they'll have a coaching vacancy, but you don't know how the owners are going to consider him with the litigation that's ongoing, right? I mean, that's a real issue. It could be a non-issue for the Bears. It could be a non-issue for other teams, but I can't answer that question right now. And then the Tua thing is hanging out there, right? I mean, that's something that he will have to overcome with any team, that they're going to have real questions about it. Hey, what was said? What was done? Why would a player like that react that way? Like, Tua is not some guy, and I don't pretend to know him well at all, but he doesn't seem like the kind of player who pops off and he says stuff, and it gets to the point where you look at something that he said and you say, well, it's Tua, right? Like, that's not him. So that hasn't been him. At least from my vantage point. So that's something that Flores would certainly have to overcome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Two sides to every story. I'd want to know
but
the other side.
I would imagine, Brad, given the McCaskies and the way they kind of get along with their partners and do as requested from the NFL, I would think that the lawsuits would be as much of an issue as any.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, just for them, I'm saying, whether they wanted to hire him. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But, you know, is his work on the field, the work he's done with the Vikings, his past history, does that make him someone that should be in consideration? No question, right? I mean, the guy's got a big-time resume. And then you'd have all the natural questions for Brian Flores that you would pose to any candidate, especially one on the defensive side of the ball. Who's your offensive coordinator? Who's your quarterback's coach? What's your vision for Caleb Williams? Like, those are, you know, completely separate questions that he'd have to answer, that any coach with a defensive background would have to have an A-plus staff in place. That coach would have to be convincing that I can get these people to come with me to work with this offense. Sometimes coaches put together a list and they say, hey, I think I've got these guys, and then they don't have them all, right? Like, you know, the coordinator they thought they were going to have has a more attractive offer to him elsewhere, wants to work in a different city, you know? So it's what will your staff look like, and where's the level of confidence? How convincing can you be that, yes, these assistants will come with you?
So, Brad, I think when you have a disappointing season like the Bears have endured, that it's easy to come up with guys who have had bad years. I wonder, how hard is it to come up with somebody, or maybe how long is the list of guys who have had good seasons? Does anybody come to mind immediately when you talk about
Taylor?
Besides the punter, who has had a very good season.
Torrey Taylor.
Okay, but besides Torrey Taylor, is there anybody else who's had a good season for the Bears?
Boy, I think T.J. Edwards has been pretty good, the linebacker, and, you know, has he made enough splash plays to turn games? No, but he's been pretty consistent, right? I think he's...
It's a good one.
He's done all right. Yeah. I think Byard, the safety's been better than I would have expected given the age and wear and tear on him. Like, he's kind of stepped right in, and although the secondary was terrible last week against the 49ers, there's no way of sugarcoating that. There's been other guys that have had flashes, Jervon Dexter, certainly some of the wide receivers But in terms of consistency, I don't know. It's difficult on offense. The offensive line issues, some of the, I think, coaching issues that plagued them, especially earlier in the season. That's not a great list, and they need more from the defensive line as well.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. Brad, I wonder if you think about the running game. I think they're in the bottom 10. I think they're like 22nd running the football. We know they had Fields here last year. Are the problems in the run game the offensive line, the running backs themselves, the play calling and the way they've gone about it? Is that just a collective yes?
Yeah, I think you're checking all those boxes. I think you're also adding into the fact that the rushing totals in some games have been not good because they've been chasing too much in the second half. It's been sort of across the board, and that's going to be a big issue going into Monday night's game at Minnesota. The Vikings run defense ranks second in the league, and the Bears found out how good that run defense is back in their initial meeting in November at Soldier Field. DeAndre Swift had 13 carries for 30 yards. The Bears as a team had 78 yards rushing, 3.5 a carry, and their most productive rusher was Caleb Williams. Guys, he had 33 yards that game. Their longest run came on a handoff to DJ Moore for 13 yards. They have to get more from the running game at U.S. Bank Stadium to keep that pass rush at bay. I thought they did a pretty darn good job against the Vikings pass rush in that initial meeting. There were only 3 sacks. One of them we know came in overtime when Caleb held the ball for 8 or 9 seconds. That against Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkle and everything that Brian Flores throws at you was a pretty good performance all the way around. It will be much more difficult in that hostile environment with the crowd noise, with them having to use a silent count and everything else. That's why they have to be able to run the ball. They have to be able to get some first downs. They have to be able to skip third down. They have to be able to go first down, second down, first down, in order to keep that game within striking distance and have some balance to their play calling so the Vikings can't just pin their ears back and come after the quarterback.
So, Brad, this is impossible to answer probably, but how focused can this Bears staff be knowing that they're 4 games away from their next job? And this is why teams don't fire coaches in season, because of the inevitability of the remainder of the season. You've got guys game planning for the Vikings who have to be very distracted, not because they're not professionals, but because it's human nature. They're all getting fired. They're all likely leaving and moving on. How difficult must that be in that?
The Sox kept 7 of their staff.
Well, forget that.
I wonder, is
this something to take into account? Do you notice anything? Do you talk to people how difficult that is? Because we just assume, well, they're just grinding for the Vikings. They got to be thinking about their next step, too.
They're grinding on the resume.
Didn't the Sox name Grady Sizemore like offensive coordinator or something?
He's like the fifth one in town, yeah.
Right. So maybe if the Bears got a bullpen coach or a hitting coach.
I think it's
the great question, David, and you're absolutely right. It's one of the things you've got to take into serious consideration when you fire the head coach. Would that have been a reason to not fire Matt Eberflus? No, not in any way, shape, or form. But you're going to deal with that down the stretch because guys are going to be, there's going to be phone calls. There's going to be text messages. Hey, what's going to be out there? What are you looking at? You know, I mean, the guys are going to go home and their wife's going to say, well, you know, do we call a realtor? You've got just real life issues How about the assistants that are younger that have kids in school? I mean, like, there's and these guys aren't going to be asking anybody to feel sorry for them, right? I mean, it's the business that they signed up for. But I think that that is a balance and a challenge for these guys, and they'll tell you that they've got a full commitment to the players, to game planning, to preparation for the Vikings, and the week after that, the Lions. But there is a human element to it that is inescapable, I think, David.
What was your take on the big movement in college football where Rich Rod is back at West? No, where Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick going to Carolina, that pretty much preserves the idea of him becoming the all-time winning coach in the NFL, right? He'd need a couple of years to do that. I don't know how much coaching he's got left in him. He'll be 73 in April. What was your take on that? Were you surprised? Will he win? And what does he have to do there? What is it for the best coach in history to gain by being in Chapel Hill?
Well, I think he wound up heading down the college path because he wasn't getting the type of feedback that would have made him confident that an NFL job would be there for him in January. I think the Falcons were the only team to interview him last year in the cycle when he had left the New England Patriots. And so if he's got an urge and a desire to continue in the profession, he's got to find somewhere else to do it. His father was once an assistant for the Tar Heels way back in the day. And we know, I said way back in the day, Dave.
I thought he recruited Jordan, didn't he? Safety?
No, LT. I told you guys a week or two ago, this was like the Lawrence Taylor connection, right?
Oh, I know.
But, we know about his affinity for the history of the game, and not just the professional game, the college game. Like he's an incredible like historian when it comes to the game of football. And I think he looks at college football as sort of this, area that he hasn't conquered maybe. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. You know, how does he handle recruiting? Like Deion Sanders doesn't want to leave Boulder to recruit players. That's why Deion puts out there on social media, like, I'm easy to find. Like you can reach me, basically saying you call me, like I'm not coming to you. Deion doesn't want to hop on a private jet and fly to Texas to go in the living room of an offensive lineman and try to recruit him to the Buffaloes. So, like, he's got people that do that. Is Bill going to want to do that? Or can Bill pick up the phone? You know, how does Bill Belichick connect with 17 and 18 year olds? I don't know. What's Careful. His staff going to look like? Yeah, no, I'm not even going there, Dave.
Yeah,
but what is this? We've seen some of these college or pro coaches go to the college level and they fill their staff with a bunch of guys that they knew from the pro level, and they maybe don't have enough people with experience and success in college to really get it going. So he's going to need to have some people with an understanding of the networking that takes place, like specifically with that job at North Carolina. They've got to put a fence up around Charlotte and the areas surrounding Charlotte in terms of recruiting. They've got to be able to get players from the western part of the state. North Carolina for a long time has done real well recruiting the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, which has been a hotbed for talent. They're going to have to make inroads locally in terms of recruiting in a hurry and then figure out how to handle the portal and the NIL money. I mean, it's the wild, wild west, guys.
It's been 2 weeks tomorrow since the Bears fired Matt Eberflus, and Bill Belichick accepted the job by reports last night. To your knowledge, Brad, in that time frame, did the Bears ever reach out to try to get an audience with Bill Belichick to even talk to him about whether he was interested or to get his gauge on the organization?
Not that I'm aware of. Could it have happened? I certainly wouldn't rule that out, but not that I'm
Is that a missed opportunity?
I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah. They should have.
I think it would be fascinating to see what he has to say, but Bill's not going to take – I don't think Bill's going to engage in that conversation unless he feels like you're legitimately talking to him about that job rather than trying to learn from him what Bill thinks about your operation and what would be best for it moving forward, right? You've got to be convincing that, hey, Bill, you got to – we want to talk to you for real here, right? Not just try to learn something from a guy with six Super Bowl rings alone as a head coach and others as an assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
Good point.
You know, what a missed opportunity to not
be able
to bring him in and let him know you're wide open, you haven't made any
decisions. Or just to be wide open to that possibility.
Well, I mean,
if you open your mind and you open the job in season,
do
it for a reason.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, anyway, thanks, Brad.
All right, Brad, we'll get your pick tomorrow. Right? Or do we
wait
till Monday?
Have a great day.
Yeah, all right, take care.
You guys let me know. We'll chat tomorrow for sure.
All right.
Real quick, guys, Vikings yesterday had a practice in full pads coming off of Sunday's win over Arizona. They felt like they had missed too many tackles. The Bears were off yesterday. Vikings are really going to scale it back today in preparation for Monday night before kind of getting normal again tomorrow. Bears will have a walkthrough today and then get back into an earnest practice on Friday.
Thanks, buddy. Great stuff, as always. That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Just question the way the Bears use their time.
Yeah.
Wisely.
It's a very
whether
good question.
Whether it's at practice or not talking to Bill Belichick.
What do you think of Rich Rod? We'll get your take when we come back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You look at, you know, the long-term health of the organization, and to inject the type of talent that we just did in this trade is really exciting for us. We talk about accelerating a rebuild. This was a deal that we feel like can do that.
All right, there's the general manager talking about the rebuild. And it's been advanced by trading your best pitcher.
Yes, it has. I think significantly. We had a great conversation with Jim Callis earlier. We'll put it all into perspective. We also had a great conversation with Billy Donovan, the Bulls coach. And if you missed any of those things earlier in the show, go back and listen with the Rewind feature, something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 Score and tap earlier today to get started. So are the White Sox and Chris Getz done trading, do you think? And do they have to be aggressive and still continuing to shop Luis Robert? What are they looking for if they are on the free agent market? What's next for Chris Getz?
I think bargains. I think that's the sad reality. I don't think they have a lot of money to play with. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're looking for are guys, and I really like Mike Tautman. I love that signing. I think he's a professional baseball player, and I think he'll do well for them for a year. And it's 1.95, and he doesn't have to leave town, and he can stay where he's at. And, I'm not saying that he probably loves going to the South Side as opposed to being the Palatine Pounder in Wrigley Field.
Can I stop you there for a second?
No, you may not.
Talkman, I'm glad you brought him up. I am baffled
by why the Cubs launched him.
Well, not so much that. I guess I'm baffled at his value. We look at the metrics, and you look at the WAR, and you look at all of the things, and how he grinds out at bats, and what takes, how many pitches he sees every plate appearance, and that in today's baseball economic world gets you $1.9 million a year.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, think about it this way, David. He beat the White Sox with a walk-off hit. If he doesn't, they're not the worst team in the history of baseball. Right? So I'm just saying, how valuable is that to you, White Sox?
Well, that suggests he's worth more than what he's getting paid.
I think he's a really solid, good baseball player.
He's a good example. He's a pro. He'll be good in that clubhouse.
I agree.
I didn't mean to stop you, but it just jumped out at me like, this guy is so...
Someone should stop me.
Undervalued. Surprisingly so. So he's going to play right field, right?
Yeah. They haven't had a right fielder. Let me ask you a question, as long as we're just kind of having a little fun with the White Sox. Did the Cuban Ohtani get traded, cut?
Oscar Colas?
Oscar Colas.
What's up with him?
And the guys that liked him are long gone, right?
He's got no allies. No allies in the organization.
No one pushing him.
Where does he fit?
Where's
Yoki Cespedes?
He's long gone.
Okay, I don't know.
Get rid of him.
He's a guy that you were high on once.
You've been high on all these guys. Yeah. You have to be high in order to like various players.
So Tauchman plays right, Robert in center. Do we know who your left fielder is? Dominic Fletcher? Is that, or any semblance of an outfield there?
Well, you've got Benintendi
Benintendi. How dare I forget? I forgot about Benintendi.
Can you trade him, please?
Briefly.
That's the highest paid free agent ever. You got Luis Robert, and I don't know what their plans are. I don't know who they're planning on rolling out there.
Well, they're collecting catchers, which apparently is a good thing to do in today's world.
Best young catchers in baseball.
I think we heard Jim Callis say that.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting way to put it. And I think Kyle Teal, as we described him earlier with our really deep baseball lingo, he's a stud. That I think you are really excited.
He's an all-around player, and he's a better defensive catcher than maybe he gets credit for, and he's probably a better defensive catcher, frankly, than the guys currently battling for the position.
Edgar Caro and Corey Lee.
And Corey Lee. I don't think Corey Lee can hit a little bit. I don't think he's a great defensive catcher. Isn't that the knock on him?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't he a pretty good handler of pitchers last year?
For the White Sox.
Okay. And
don't they have another guy? They have somebody else on the roster.
Well, they just hired somebody as their bench coach who comes as a catching guru.
Right.
A defensive runs prevention expert.
Yes.
McVitkinvin.
Yes.
Walker.
From the Brewers. Brewers. Yeah. And he is a new Trier grad.
Yeah.
Local guy made good.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, that's good.
So they're set at the catching spot.
Okay.
Walker McKinvin is the new bench coach / catching expert. Now they've got to fill in the gaps. Colson Montgomery will be given the chance to win the everyday shortstop job. You're convinced he's a third baseman. I like that argument.
I don't believe I'm convinced. It was suggested to me he's a third baseman.
It was thrown out as an aside by Ozzy one day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have more baseball knowledge now than Ozzy?
No. I'm not suggesting that at all. No, I love the way you jumped to conclusions, though.
But you have to appreciate you were here, but I claimed, I believe I told Ruthie Polinsky, who was
she did a great job, by the way.
Great person.
Ruthie's terrific.
And really enjoyed her company. But I believe I told her that he was maybe the greatest Indiana schoolboy legend since David Hall.
He just said that?
Come on. He's not looking out for his guy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We do have a small school Indiana background in common. That's why I'm kind of I'm pulling for Colson Montgomery.
That's why you want him to get everything he wants, including the shortstop position.
I like his story. I think he's got some talent. Here's what I question most about Colson Montgomery, though. I think it's interesting how the Sox have pivoted from disappointing 2024 in AAA to let's give him the chance to win the everyday job because he had a great Arizona Fall League.
As a third baseman. He played third base in the Arizona Fall League.
That's true.
Not my idea. They did it. I didn't suggest it.
The young man wants to play shortstop.
I understand that.
I think if you're worried about his confidence and his approach and demeanor, I think you want to put him in that position to succeed. And I think he's projected as a shortstop, even though his body type could also change that.
Yeah, 6'4".
He's big. Big dude.
But there have been big shortstops before.
Yeah, I know.
How tall is Corey Seager?
Corey Seager's about 6'4".
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as he's as good as Corey Seager,
big strapping lad.
Happy.
Yeah, MVP caliber player. That would be great. So he's probably going to be competing for shortstop. There's some other prospects. I wonder who the third baseman is. Miguel Vargas will be given a good hard look, but
might be an outfielder.
Let's face it, his initial showing with the White Sox gave you reason to question the offseason moves by Chris Getz.
Yeah.
Because that was a deadline deal that didn't seem to provide immediate result in that the first impression was not a positive one.
Fair enough.
And the explanation I've heard several times, Sox personnel on the score, whether it's inside the clubhouse on Saturday or on the station, kind of describe Miguel Vargas as somebody who did not want to be moved.
Well, do you blame him?
No. No.
And I don't mean that, and that in any way
his
other than
performance.
Do you want to win a World Series, son, or would you rather put on a historic worst team ever?
Well, the letdown from going from the Dodgers organization to the White Sox, I think we saw that reflected in maybe his play. And that's understandable, I think, to a degree, for a young professional athlete traded for the first time.
He'll be a lot better behind Roque.
Well, after that PowerPoint presentation, those slides are really going to convince
them. Seat at the table. Well, don't forget the buzzwords.
I think that that'll be another big, I think, moment for the Cubs to find out where Roque Sasaki ends up.
Yes.
They've got an opportunity to make a very strong appeal. But I do wonder this. Because Japanese players, let's face it, Seiya Suzuki's presence, would you say, helped the Cubs land Shota Imanaga? You think that was part of it?
I don't know that. I don't think it hurt, but I don't know Seiya well enough. I think that Shota Imanaga came in here and was like this incredible personality, and there was a great vibe. And he maybe underscored that Seiya is not that kind of player.
Well, I do agree with that, but I wonder if Seiya's presence influenced Imanaga's decision at all. And I'd have to go back and look at the reporting there. Dustin, are you aware? Because I do wonder. My point being that if you have two Japanese players on your roster, it might feel like it's more comfortable or conducive for a 23-year-old like Sasaki to come into an environment where it has worked before, they've assimilated players quickly, and it's an organization that has that kind of experience. I think that's what Jed Hoyer's trying to sell. That's something the White Sox really don't have to sell. I don't know what else the White Sox would have to sell, to be honest with you. But I like their ambition.
You are so mean.
No, I'm not. You're thinking the same thing.
PowerPoint. Hey, the Cubs also picked up Gage Workman yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Real blue-collar talent.
It does sound like somebody
with a great
good work ethic.
Gage Workman was a Rule 5 draft pick who came from the Tigers. He's 25 years old. And he was
to play every day.
He hit 18 homers. I'm just saying, like I don't know how good he is, but the way the Rule 5 draft works is you get a guy, he has to make your roster, or you send him back, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know I don't know how hard it's going to be to make the roster, but this is a third baseman who's 6'3". Damn you,
40-man roster.
25 years old. Yes. It's got to make the actual roster in spring training.
I'll tell you, Cubs have, talking about stockpiling, they've got a lot of third basemen now. They've got a lot of third basemen. If you add Mr. Workman to the mix.
Yep.
If you add a Workman to the mix, then you've got Gage Workman at the bottom of the roster. Matt Shaw.
How do you tell how he's doing? How do you gauge Workman?
It's spelled differently.
I know. Thank you. Just sorry.
You got Workman. You got Shaw. You got Cam Smith. First-round draft pick from Florida State that I saw mentioned in the Astros trade discussions.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
I don't know how I feel about that. But then you've got Paredes at the major league level. I'm okay with them dealing him. He hasn't made as strong of an impression. The Kyle Tucker situation, I think, is the next big story in Chicago baseball if it happens, or whatever happens with Kyle Tucker. And I wonder how long it will drag out. Because the Astros seem motivated or at least intrigued by the possibility of moving him for prospects, because I think they fear they will lose him to free agency for nothing.
Hmm.
He's got one more year left on his deal. So if you're the Cubs, how many assets are you going to include in a deal for somebody who might be a one-year rental?
Right. Well, it's a good question, and I think you're saying it, you're asking it correctly, because they do have players that don't have, that they're going to need to kind of move on from. And so I would try to seek more of a collection of those than giving away any of my top 8 100 players.
The Cubs need a star. Kyle Tucker fits the bill.
Okay.
There's only three players, I think, with a combined war over the last 3 or 4 years, let's find that stat, higher than Kyle Tucker's. And it's Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, and Shohei Ohtani. Or maybe it's Juan Soto.
So
he's in good company. He's in very good company.
If you're, let's say, Dustin, you're Miles Mastroboni, and the Cubs take a Rule 5 shot at a Gage Workman, are you sitting up and taking notice?
If I was Miles Mastroboni, I'd pinch myself every day that the fact that I even got to play at the corner of Clark and Addison.
He's got a bat. Have bat will travel.
I like the way you put it, at the corner on Clark and Addison.
He's got a bat. That's his.
Who, Workman?
Mastroboni.
18 homers.
I think you look at
double A.
Mastroboni should only be back up if there are like massive injuries to the Cubs. Massive.
I hope we're not saying his name next year.
Thank you.
But speaking of massive injuries to the Cubs, that's not a far-fetched idea. Their middle infield was apparently one step away from the emergency room all season long.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
Dansby Swanson with hernia surgery?
Yeah.
Okay. I am not a doctor, and I don't play one on television.
But
that's not going to – how well does that heal? And does it ever go away?
Hmm.
Hernia surgery. And then, obviously, Horner.
It does go away, but, I mean, it can be healed. That's the reason you have the surgery. But the fact
I'm
that
I'm talking about 2025.
It. Right.
The season. Is it going to affect his season? How late to spring training will he arrive? What shape will he be in? All these questions with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's only Thursday.
Yeah, we got tons of time to worry about it. We got all season to be concerned.
I know.
This is the one and only day we're talking about the White Sox. Didn't we decide that?
This was a White Sox conversation.
Okay.
Nice job, Chris Getz.
Yeah. Congrats. Got rid of the best player on the team.
Your best asset.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm being kind of mean.
Sox got four prospects.
They did well.
The Red Sox got their centerpiece. So when they win the World Series in 2 years, they'll know why.
Yeah. Four of the White Sox top 14 prospects arrived yesterday. It's pretty impressive.
That is.
So congratulations to him. It's better than the guy that didn't want to be here.
I look forward to talking to Chris Getz about that deal if we're ever able to get him.
Are we trying to get him? I think we should try to get him. I'd love to talk to him. Yeah.
You could pencil him in at 9 a.m. Friday.
Asked and answered.
I believe that is tomorrow, Mr. Dustin.
Well done, Dustin. Well done.
Wow, Friday. We got to wait till Friday?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a better way of saying it. All right, we've got Marshall and Dan. We'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.